Thank you, Jake. All right, good morning, everybody. Let's get started. This is adult Sunday school class. We're going through Romans. And we're in chapter 12, about halfway through it. Dealing with Christian love that is an extension of God's love and really the application of Christianity in life, what it means to present your body a living sacrifice. So Romans chapter 12 is the beginning in Romans where Paul makes application to all of the doctrinal foundation he's laid, all the sort of the theology he's and principles he's laid out in the first 11 chapters. So chapter 12, he starts applying it based on, all right, Jesus Christ lays down his life on the cross, and that self-sacrifice and that he does, this love that he shows to people, it's the basis for all of the Christian life, really, all the application of Christian life. So in Romans chapter 12, we covered about, I don't know, a few verses, four or five verses before last week. We're going to start in verse 14, Romans 12, 14. And so a lot of these things are, they sound maybe counterintuitive. They're just not what you would, not the reaction you would naturally have. But let's read these verses and then we'll pray. We'll talk about these things, this application of Christianity in life. So verse 14 says, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Let's pray, and we'll cover those few verses this morning. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Pray that you'd help us make these applications of Christianity. This is what Christianity looks like, and pray that we would find the areas that we need to find in our own lives where we don't match up with these things, and our own mindsets that don't match up with these things, and make them fit, make them comply with what the will of God is here. And I pray you'd help us with these things. Thank you for the teachers in the back. I pray that you'd help them with teaching the kids the scriptures and administrating and administering the words of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so you come to this section, and it's kind of a lot of just instruction, sort of similar to the end of Thessalonians, where there's just several instructions, one right after another. And so we're going to just cover these verses with these instructions here. The first thing about Christian love, which is an extension, like I said, of God's love, he says in verse 14, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. One thing that Paul did for sure was he applied this verse to his life. He went into, when Paul trusted Jesus Christ, when he started following Jesus Christ, he went into the synagogues and taught, attempted to preach to and instruct and lead Jews that were hostile to Jesus Christ and hostile to Christianity into a better way, the Christian life, and to Jesus Christ. And so he literally did this. He goes into the synagogues and he tries to bless the people that are actively cursing, actively against him, actively opposed to his, what he's teaching, what he's preaching, and all that. And so the general idea I think you'll find in these verses is not to overcome evil with evil, but generally overcome evil with good. That's the Christian life. That's the Christian way of doing things. So this verse particularly, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Another thing it made me think about is this is how anybody becomes a Christian. So someone has to reach out. Someone has to attempt to preach to encourage, to teach someone who is not a Christian, who is actively opposed to Christianity, and convince and lead them to Jesus Christ. And everyone starts outside of, you could say outside of the camp, you know, everybody starts there. And eventually somebody comes along, leads you to Jesus Christ, and this is the activity. You bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So it's sort of like blessing the outsider. It's not just the outsider, but somebody who's actively opposed to Christianity, opposed to maybe even you personally. And so this is the Christian way. This is what Jesus Christ does. This is what Paul does. And this is what Jesus Christ says to do. And this is what Paul says to do. And Peter, and they all end up saying this. But bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now I'll ask you guys, do you guys have any thoughts, illustrations, anything that goes with this verse that you could say, yeah, I got it. I've done this. I am doing this. Anything like that? Any thoughts or illustrations from your life? Okay. Say that again.
So, what in this context, what does he mean by bless?
Generally, I would say do good. Just be good.
Just be nice to the person that's
persecuted. Yeah, don't repay evil for this.
Like be civil?
Probably.
Don't flash their cards.
Probably. Yeah. Well, because, and that's the natural attitude.
You can be nice to somebody without forgiving them. Oh, yeah.
Right. Right. Well, and that's, it goes against the natural attitude and the response to being hurt or someone being opposed to you in some way where you want to lash out, you want to get back at them. And that's the Christianity is what Paul said at the beginning, offer your body a living sacrifice. So all those impulses and those natural reactions to things have to be kept in line and put under the will of God. So you have this response. We all have these responses to these things. And generally that's the thing you got to control. And just like Paul will say it in Ephesians, be angry and sin not. You know, we talked about that in church last week in the evening service, but be angry. And yeah, you're going to have these emotions. You have these feelings about opposition, but that has to be kept in check. That has to be submitted to the will of God. And so, yeah, bless, I would say, generally do good.
As Jesus said, that if you only love those that love you, what thing have you, even the lost people who do this, you're supposed to love your enemies.
Exactly.
And on the cross, Jesus asked God to forgive them, the persecuting him, and Stephen asked the same thing.
True. That's right. That's good. That's a good point, Joe.
Would it be similar to just treating them as if they were blessing them instead of cursing them?
Yeah. Yeah, if that's the, I think so. That would help. To keep your attitude in check. Yeah.
If they're cursing, just treating them as if they're blessing them, how would you respond?
Absolutely.
Like if they give you a bird, treat it the way.
Ha 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 ha.
So, and this is Christianity. This is what Christianity is. And I think sometimes when you find out what Christianity is, sometimes it may seem like, oh, so that's all it is? That's what it is? Well, yeah, and that's tough. And it's tough to do these things. And it's tough when you're in the situation where you're supposed to be a blessing to somebody and you want to hurt them. Yeah, be a Christian. Be a Christian. So bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And keep in mind, all of these things, this is what God's love looks like. And so by extension, this is what Christianity is supposed to look like. This is the expression of all of that. Verse 15, he says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. So this is God's love as it's empathetic. This is, I noticed just as a personal story, personal testimony, this was very, early on as a pastor, the range of emotions that you kind of have to feel in any given day is all over the place. And so, you might be, I remember a couple times when I was still in the oil field where I'm working and then I've got all this other work stuff on my mind about whatever's going on in Louisiana or East Texas or something. And then at the same time, somebody's having a baby. At the same time, you're planning a
somebody was like in a car accident all within like an hour while we were driving and getting phone calls and kids back from camp.
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard Mary Beth, but it's like you're planning a wedding, you're trying to work on a work schedule, you're trying to plan a funeral, and so there's this big range of things you have to feel. And I noticed early on that can be exhausting. But this isn't an instruction to a pastor. This is a Christian thing. Weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. And so the ability to, and this is, I think, first of all, like I said, it can be exhausting trying to feel all of these emotions and empathize with a range of rejoicing and a range of grief and these, all of that. And generally, that's not how life is all the time. I get it. It's not how life is all the time. It can be, how when it rains, it pours type thing, and it can be exhausting at periods of time in life. But this is a general Christian instruction to rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. And there's just this ability to empathize with people. This is the way Jesus Christ did it. This is the way God does it. He sees someone, it sees people in a certain position and puts himself in that position. Physically, the Lord put himself in the position of people. And so this is a very, I think it's a much needed, probably one of these Christian things that we need more of, and we need to be more of, just the empathizing and ability to put yourself in somebody's position and care about and identify with them where they are. Then verse 16, so God's love is, it blesses the outsider, overcomes evil with good, which you'll say again, it's empathizing love. And then he says, verse 16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And this is starting to sound like James, really. James does a lot of this stuff. But not only is God's love is an empathetic love, but it's unifying love. And it's unifying around the right things, but it's unifying love. And I read this and I'm thinking, this, if you think you're the one condescending to show grace. You know how we've all probably had these thoughts where you feel superior and you think, well, I'll stoop to their level and I'll you know, show grace and mercy and I'll be the bigger person and things like that. That thought in itself, I think, is the problem. If you think you have to stoop to be on someone else's level, I think that's the problem. You've already established that you're better than they are. And now I'm going to stoop to their level to show grace and show mercy. Paul said, be not wise in your own conceits. Mind not high things. And this is, I think, a general elitist sort of, I don't know, just high-minded mentality. You know, that arrogant type mindset. Let me do this person a favor by being merciful to them. Well, why don't you just be merciful? Instead of thinking that you're doing somebody a favor, like you're gonna get down low on their level, and I think that whole mindset is bad. That is the problem. Just be merciful. Oh, yeah.
Somebody else is going through something that somehow during a conversation we make it turn around and make it all about ourselves.
There you go.
Or we say, I know how you feel, and there's no way you know how they feel.
There's no way, yeah. Yeah. Any good examples of any of that? I mean, I think it's great.
I'm looking for true confessions this morning.
No, I think that's exactly right. That's good. That's good. You turn... Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're stupid to be merciful. I'm raising myself up to be, like...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be above what they're doing. Yeah, that's good.
You're better than them. It's just you're taking a higher...
There you go. That's a good way of looking at it, too. That and what Beth said about making it about yourself, that's an issue. What? Yeah, sometimes you're your own worst critic. And that can be okay sometimes. So, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I think that some of the just being... gracious, like what you're saying, Nancy, about not taking the low road but taking the high road. Absolutely. And just be that person. Just be gracious. Just be merciful. Just be, not because you're working on a project, not because this person's a project. That's another thing. That befriending lost people so they can be your project. And you can make them Christian. That's, I don't know, man. That mentality, I think people see through that stuff.
Well, I think, and taking a high road doesn't necessarily mean you have to associate with that person at all. You can just distance yourself.
Yeah, which he'll say in a minute. You can't live at peace with everybody. Well, and really? It's just, it's not possible. Some people don't want peace, and they just don't want peace. Being of the same mind means trying to understand so you can be of the same mind. I think we're missing some of that. Trying to understand people, where they're coming from, understand what they're saying, understand why they're saying what they're saying. It's the ability to, again, empathize, be considerate, and actually have communication that's two-way communication and understand people and learn about people, and that's going to take learning, and that's going to take...
Well, let me say that most people, when you're talking in a conversation, you're not listening to learn, you're listening so that you can speak to... You're just...
Yeah, how am I going to respond to this? Yeah, everybody comes to the conversation with their mind made up, and then I'm just listening so I can tell you what my mind is. I'm the hero.
Good. So we had gone to, Jeff was the deacon, and we had a luncheon after service one day. And we waited to get our food last. And as we looked up and at everybody that was seated, all the deacons and their wives had taken all these chairs and crammed them around this one table so they could sit together. And there were people that were there that had never been there before, that were visitors and guests, that were sitting alone. And I looked at them and I thought to myself, what are you thinking? What were you thinking when you took your chairs and you gathered them all around and you sat with your people?
Yeah.
And then you've got people that came to this church because they were invited for lunch and you let them sit alone.
So
we sat with some of the people that were alone, but it was like,
what are we doing?
Yeah, what do you do? What is church about?
What are we doing?
It was an ugly scene.
Yeah.
They don't think about what they're there for. They're there to serve.
Right. That's a good example. That's right. Yeah, we get cliquish. We get our own. It's our people, and it's my people, and I'm going to be around my people, and I don't want any other people to be my people. And
that's where I
sit. Yeah, don't sit in my seat. So be of the same mind, one toward another.
And we all have friends, and we all hang with the people that we're friends with. But when you're in a position of service, and you're obviously ignoring the service that you're there for,
yeah. Understandable, yeah. Good example. Go ahead, Chris. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You set an example. Be good, do good to people. All kind of ties together there. So verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Sounds like what James said. Be not wise in your own conceits. Remember that everything you got in Christianity, you got because of Jesus Christ. Everything you know about Christianity, everything you know about God, everything you know about salvation, eternal life, you got from the Spirit of God. And so none of this stuff came from any person. It didn't come from any personality. It didn't come from your favorite preacher. All this stuff comes from the Holy Spirit of God. It comes through the Scriptures. And so just like Paul said to the Corinthians when they're all arguing, and, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of whoever, you know, whoever your favorite guy is, I'm of this, I'm of that. And Paul says, look, we all got this from the revelation of the Spirit of God. There is no Paul's Christianity or Peter's Christianity or Apollos Christianity. There's just Jesus Christ, there's Christianity, and then there's the Spirit of God revealing things to people. And that's what it is. And so take it that way. It's not a competition. This isn't we're not trying to be in competition with each other. We're not vying for, you know, position of being God's favorite. I've said it before, but God already has a favorite. It's Jesus Christ. You're not his favorite. You're not in competition with anybody to be his favorite. You're not going to be his favorite. If you're in Jesus Christ, you get the blessings of being in Jesus Christ, but you're just, we're not competing with each other. Verse 17 then, God's love isn't evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Kind of what you're saying, Chris. Just because they cuss you or whatever, that naturally that means you fight back, you retaliate, you figure out some strategy to hurt them. And that's the wrong attitude. That isn't the Spirit of God. And this is what presenting your body a living sacrifice looks like. It means keeping all those urges and all those natural responses and carnal responses, keep them down, keep them submitted to the will of God, because you're going to have them, but they have to be put in their proper place. Do what's right. The idea is doing what's right regardless of what other people do. Again, kind of like what you're saying, Chris, do what's right regardless of what other people do. That's Christianity. That's the love of God. God is good and he just does what's right. And he doesn't do what's right because you do what's right. He doesn't do what's right because you do what's wrong. He does what's right because he's good and he's right and he does things that are right. And that's the way a Christian ought to live out their lives. You just do what's right because just that's the way your father does it. So God's love isn't evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Verse 17, provide things honest in the sight of all men. And I mean, just to be fair, any one of these instructions we could probably take a whole Sunday school lesson on, but we're trying to just like get through this at least to understand what Paul's doing with this. He set out a principle at the beginning of the chapter, and now he's making application to this principle based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus Christ being the shepherd, and we follow in the shepherd's footsteps, so we follow in that sacrifice. And that sacrifice, again, doesn't always mean your head's on the chopping block and you're going to be a martyr, you're going to be lined up. That sacrifice means day-to-day doing good to people who do evil. It means doing the right thing, regardless of how you get treated. That's Christianity. And then he says this in verse 18, last thing we'll deal with. He says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now that doesn't mean make this an excuse to not live peaceably with people, or you just say, you know, I can't do it. But it is true that some people you're not going to be at peace with, because there is a real thing as a contentious person that just wants to fight, and they're just going to want to fight, and so you can't. There's not going to be an area not to fight in. And so, yeah, that's a real thing. But from your point of view, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, as much as is in you, be at peace and live peaceably with all men. So this is a big deal. And I think it's a bigger deal than we have tended to make it. We tend to make, I think, division and how we can identify the Antichrist and all this other stuff as major points of Christianity. But major points of Christianity are being at peace with people and being at peace with God. That's a major thing. It's so major, in fact, that Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, anybody know? Yeah, the children of God. Are you a child of God? You want to be a child of God? Jesus Christ said, peacemakers. That's children of God. I don't think you can get any higher higher calling than that. So, you know, God's love, in this case, is peaceful. There's a couple of places in the Bible that talks about studying the things that make for peace. I think that's one in Hebrews. We're pretty good at studying things that make for division, and studying things that show how I'm different than you and how you're wrong and I'm right. But the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, and study for things that make for peace. In fact, Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 12, which you ought to look at. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's show you cross-reference to this. In A lot of, I think, some people's Christianity is actually anti-Christ. It has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ is teaching, what Paul is teaching, what Christianity is. So here's what Christianity is. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men, kind of what Paul was saying at the end there, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Interesting. Kind of like what Jesus Christ said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. And so you ought to study things that make for peace. And you ought to do that like your life depends on it. Maybe stop studying the divisive things that make for why I'm better and why we're in a competition and why we're right and why I'm right. Maybe you ought to study things that make for peace, like your life depends on it. How can I be a messenger of peace, an ambassador for God's peace in this thing? How can we reconcile? How can we make things right here? But, you know, I think some folks have already crossed off these things like they're, you know, this is Israel, this is that, this is this. This is Christianity. It's what Christianity is. God's love is peaceful. You call yourself a child of God. I think the better question is not do you call yourself a child of God, but does God call you a child of God? God's love is peaceful. I know some people made God's love very divisive, but that's actually not God's love. That's just self-righteousness. So a Christian's love is like God's love. It loves peace. It loves good, not evil. What else? It's actual love. We dealt with that last week.
It's
long-suffering. Yeah. It rejoices in the opportunity to do good. Has a glorious future. God's love blesses outsiders. It blesses persecutors. God's love empathizes. God's love unifies. And so Paul says in all of that, as applying what he's applying here, he's just applying Christianity. And so he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Why? Because this is what God's love is. Go ahead, Joe. What's that? Go ahead. What is it?
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another.
There you go. That's almost identical to what Hebrews said in Hebrews 12. So this is Christian love. This is Christianity lived out, based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to put the body down. This is what it means to control those natural urges and submit all that stuff to the Lord Jesus Christ and take those thoughts and put them, just like Paul would say in Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and things like this that creep up and then they take over your will and your behavior. And Paul's saying, no, this is what Christianity is, because this is what God's love does, and this is how Jesus Christ loved people, and this is how Christians are supposed to follow Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And so this is Christian love. And I mean, it's sometimes it sounds like, well, that just sounds so simple, or that just, you know, that's what all it is doing good instead of doing evil. Yeah, sometimes it boils down to that. Sometimes it boils down to having a good attitude. Sometimes it boils down to keeping your mind right. and not following these carnal urges to be competitive and divisive in these areas that you shouldn't be competitive and divisive in. So Christian love, and then the end of this we'll cover in a couple weeks at the end of this chapter about avenging not yourselves. David is a great example of that, but we'll cover that in a couple weeks. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here this morning. And I pray you would teach us Christianity. I pray that you would help us apply Christianity to our lives as it is laid out here in Romans and other places in the Bible. But it is literally an application of what Jesus Christ did and lived and then his sacrifice, but then resurrection from the dead, showing that this is the way. This is the way of life. This is what life looks like. And so I pray you'd help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.